Hello and welcome. This is All Lit Up with me, Jilly Fogg, head creative at Lighthouse Studios in Kilkenny, Ireland. In this series, we talk to all kinds of creative people, and today our guest is Candy Gard. She's the creator of Dolly Pond, an animator, director, designer, writer, a multi-talented person who never stops working and never rests on her accumulated laurels. Candy has so much to say, and she is a real treat to listen to. And she was generous enough to be the subject of a quiz, a feature of this podcast that we have never since repeated. So thank you, Candy. And if you're ready, let's get all lit up. Hello, Candy.
Hello, Jilly.
It's so nice to talk to you again, and we're delighted to have you here because you are already a friend of Lighthouse, having been to the Kilkenny Animated Festival way back in 2019.
I am. You interviewed me and I went to lots of nice bars.
Yeah, it's always a good time at Kilkenny Animated, and I hope you'll come again. I'm just going to give a little rundown of the many things you have packed into your life so far. In the 1980s, you made many short films for Channel 4, for MTV and BBC. And this was followed by Pond Life, which I loved so much. A fabulous animated series on Channel 4, following the life of our highly neurotic heroine, Dolly Pond. And that won many awards and accolades, including Best Animated Series in Annecy in 1997. That must have been an incredible honour and event.
It was. It was kind of a bit of a shock, really, because we made the series in a bit of a, not a vacuum, but we were just left to our own devices. I wrote the scripts. There was very little interference from Channel 4. And suddenly we launched the series on the world. And the response was absolutely unbelievable. In fact, I wish I could go back and enjoy it more because there were so many things happening. Annecy was very exciting. There were lots of award ceremonies, interviews on the telly, interviews on the radio. So it was kind of quite a surprise, but a lovely surprise.
I think Dolly probably broke through at a time when there weren't female characters like her on TV at all.
There still aren't.
There's still...
I've got a bee in my bonnet. I had a bee in my bonnet. I mean, I wanted to do something like Pond Life for ages, and then I finally did it. And now I feel like I want to do it again because I still feel that there's a hole for those kind of female voices.
Your characters are at the same time really unlikable, but also really relatable. It's like, oh my God, that's me. That's me.
I got a lot of messages, people saying, that's me. I'm Dolly to a T, or that's my girlfriend, or that's my mum, or I've done that. And I get people saying, oh, she's really annoying. She's awful. But there's a flip side to that as well, is that she's so honest and she wears her heart on her sleeve. So that I think people really like that. She says the things that you might be thinking that you wouldn't dare say. She's outrageous.
But yeah, we're all a little bit Dolly, right? I mean, that's... So where did she come from?
Oh, I always talk about how I read comics. I wasn't an animation kid. I didn't like cartoons, but I did like comics. And I'm talking about the Beano and the Dandy. I was a bit of a tomboy and I liked Minnie the Minx, Beryl the Peril, Pansy Potter, the strong man's daughter. And I didn't find them particularly funny, but I really loved them because there were these naughty girls that were like Dennis the Menace. And then I became a teenager and I started reading Jackie and Pink and all the terrible girls comics, and all the humour had gone. All the kind of naughty girl having fun had gone. And I think that kind of stayed with me subconsciously, so that when I thought about doing a female character, it was kind of like a grown-up Beryl the Peril. What happened to Beryl the Peril when she grew up? I wanted to see it. So it kind of came from there, really. And then it was a mixture of me. I'm a bit like Dolly, but I'm not as flamboyant. And then I've got friends that are more like Dolly. I've got friends that are like Beryl. And it was just an amalgamation of all those things, really.
She is wonderful. And I think it goes for all of your characters. Like in your most recent film, She's My Best Friend and I Hate Her, you're totally unafraid to put out how complex female friendships are, how we could be completely drawn and also repelled to our best friends, but we need them so much.
Yeah, and I think also a lot of our best friends, for me, the idea was very much about a friend you've had for a long, long, long time, say from school. And if you met now, you might not have that much in common, but you've known each other all that time. So you try and stick together despite the fact your lives might have gone in different directions. You're very different people than you were when you were kids. So it's kind of about that, really. And I, that's on YouTube, and I had a very good response from people saying, oh, that's just like me and my best friend. That's like me and my sister. Also people saying, oh, my God, this is an awful friendship. I really like my friends. I would never say anything nasty about them. I just ignore them.
Yeah.
I'm tempted to say something, but I don't. So, again, you know, I it was an idea I'd had for a long time, as often is with me. I'm a slow, you know, I have an idea, I try it in one way, I try it in another way. And when I got a chance to do the BFI application, I remembered that idea and I decided to work on that.
You just said that you're slow, maybe things take a long time to incubate, but considering the way you work, which is basically doing everything yourself, you're absolutely prolific.
Well, it is now. I'm back to doing that, but I didn't do that. I mean, Pond Life, I didn't animate on Pond Life. We had 20 animators. So that was the first time I'd been at a hands-off. I did all the storyboards. I wrote it. I directed the voices. So I did do everything, but I didn't do completely everything because I wasn't animating. But now I've learnt TV paint. Finally. I mean, the last 20 years, I just was still hoping someone like my, out there might have a rostrum and I could still draw on paper. And I finally had to accept that I had to learn a programme. And so I'm now doing that again. I'm doing my own voices. I'm doing everything myself like I did at college. So it's kind of, I've gone full circle, really. And it kind of suits me to do that. You can do it very secretly and privately, and then you can launch it onto your YouTube channel.
And do you miss the paper and pens? Have you made the digital transition?
It's not the same drawing on a tablet, but I draw on a Wacom, so it's the closest you can get. So I'm drawing directly onto the screen with TV paint. Yeah. So it's, you don't get that feel of pencil and paper, but I've got some quite good tools. My husband he's an animator as well, a director, and he made a load of tools which I've nicked. So I got a soft pencil, a sharp pencil, but it isn't the same. And when you've done it for years, when you've drawn on paper for years, it becomes second nature, but I am getting used to it, but it is different.
And all the possibilities with layering and going back and shake, like, that's pretty liberating.
You say that, but I was saying the other day, I'm making a tiny little film at the moment and I've got my layers, my mouth on one layer, my hands, but I actually get quite muddled up. And when I used to do it on paper, I'd just go through and do it on paper and I'd have 1,000 drawings. And in some ways it was sort of faster, even though I was having to trace everything off. There was something very simple about it. And then I just had this pile of paper. Mm-hmm. So, yes, it's incredibly liberating. But I haven't learnt it well enough, really, for it to really liberate me. But I'm learning.
But at the same time, you've always been a writer. Did you sit down and write, like, in your comic strips for Pond Life, your short films? Did you have a script first and then go from there? Or did they evolve with the images?
It evolved with the images. And I think that's where it goes back to strip cartooning. So I think I wasn't a big reader as a kid, but I was very, very verbal and into dialogue and talking. And so when I used to write letters, as we did in the old days, I always used to do little stick figures with dialogue as a quick way of telling a story. And I think that sort of just evolved into something that became really natural to me. So not writing prose, but a way of writing scripts, but doing little drawings as well. It's a very instinctive way, I think, for some people to tell a story. And then that naturally, and I went to art school and I did fine art. And you mentioned in your questions about, was there a moment where you were inspired to do animation? It wasn't so much there was a moment I was inspired to do animation. There was a moment on a fine art course where everyone else was painting and sculpting. I'd gone there to do photography and I was doing these tiny little cartoons. And they were a bit worried because they didn't look like fine art. And they said, why don't you blow them up, wall size? I just thought, but I just want to tell little stories. And then one of the tutors said, have you thought of trying animation? And then that was like a light bulb moment.
Okay.
Because I could make a film and they'd be happy with that. and do the drawings and have the voices and the dialogue that I was writing. So it was perfect.
You mentioned already that you're bringing your work online, but are you trying to do anything or something a little differently than before?
I mean, I want to bring Dolly Pond back. This is my big thing.
Great.
I'm thinking the best way, and this is what everyone tells me, is to make something. So I think to try and get something off the ground with just an idea, now I've got the facilities to actually make something. So that's what I'm doing at the moment. So I'm getting the Sarah who voiced Dolly. It's called Dolly Midlife, and it's basically Dolly, menopausal Dolly. And who better to have the menopause than Dolly, because she doesn't give a monkey's. It's not even going to bother her. But that's her stage of her life she's in. And actually, someone asked me a question the other day on my YouTube channel. I was so pleased. He said, is Dolly going to come back older? Did she marry Nobby? Did she have children? Did Mrs. Allwright leave her shop? And I said, you're asking all the right questions, because these are the things that I'm doing in my little pilot. These are the questions that I'm answering. So I'm putting her in this new life, where nothing much has changed, but she's older. And I think we all feel when we get older that nothing much has changed, except we're older.
Oh, Candy, I'm so excited at the thought of Dolly coming back. That's brilliant. And of course, Sarah Ann Kennedy, who voiced Dolly, has gone on to be a Peppa Pig megastar.
Exactly. I know, Miss Rabbit.
Yeah. And Nanny in...
Nanny Plum.
Nanny Plum. Oh, my God. Iconic voice. Oh, that's fabulous. So another question we always ask our guests is, if you could make one film or show to put out in the world, what would it be?
Oh, God, what a question. I think I'll just have to say Dolly Midlife.
Yeah.
It's my thing.
Exactly. So you've already answered it.
That's what I would want to do, is I just want to bring her back. She's got so much to say about the modern world. Social media, well, the digital age. I mean, think how much things have changed.
Okay, so Candy, we ask all of our guests to choose a short film, which...
I've chosen a really weird one.
Oh my God. For our listeners, we're going to share this with the podcast. The film Candy has chosen is Hen, His Wife by Igor Kovalyov, made in 1989, and I am so grateful to you for getting me to watch this. I'd never heard or known of it before, and it's truly strange and weird. So tell me about the first time or why you chose it.
Well, I got into animation in the late 80s and 90s, when there was still this huge Eastern European industry making animation from the Soviet bloc. And this one really stood out. And this was made just as Russia was changing. I mean, he was Ukrainian, but he was working for a big Russian state filmmaking company. And it was just when perestroika was happening. So it's really interesting, because you can see it as a political allegory. For a start, it's very, very weird. It's totally original looking. The soundtrack is amazing. I just love things like the hen's got a spotty dress. And she's running backwards and forwards, but the spots are just on a layer of cell, so they just stay in position. And I like that kind of thing, because it looks very handmade, all shot on film, but it's got such an amazing atmosphere, and you can read it on so many different levels. You can see it as a political allegory. It's about alienation, being in the Soviet bloc. The simple way to describe the story is as a couple. His wife's a hen. They're living in this sort of domestic, not exactly bliss, this repetitive domestic situation, which is a bit dull, but they're both quite happy. And then this stranger appears, and he tells the man that his wife is a hen. And then he realizes she's a hen. He banishes her. And then he goes into this terrible decline. And if you want to understand the film, there's a really good thing on YouTube.
We'll put it out.
This young guy, I think he's Russian, he explains it in a way that I would never be able to. There's all this symbolism, all the different ways you can interpret it. Is it just a domestic situation? Is it a political allegory? I mean, I wanted to choose something funny, and that was like the sort of thing I make, but I couldn't think of anything. And I actually realised that I do love films where you're trying to work out what it's about.
It's so different The texture is amazing. The soundtrack is incredible. And then what really surprised me when I was looking, you know, reading about Kovalyov, he then went on to co-direct the Rugrats movie.
Yeah, and you can see his influence. Well, he was invited. That film was quite a big success on the festival circuit. I think out of the studio, I can't. I think the studio was called Pilot. The out of all the films they made, it was kind of a bit of a hit. And then he got invited to talk to some students at Disney, and then he met Klasky Csupa, and they invited him to come and work with them. And he did. He worked with them, and he even animated on The Simpsons.
Yeah, incredible.
But he ended up going back and working for the same Soviet animation company that he started at. So it's quite an interesting journey.
Well, thank you so much for choosing that. And anyone who hasn't seen the film, please go to the link that will be with this podcast and enjoy it. And Candy, we're also going to give you a little rapid fire quiz.
Oh no, I forgot about that. I meant to do some research.
You will be fine.
I won't know any of the answers. I won't. But anyway,
no, I promise you will. Now the topic today is independent British animators. You will be okay. Okay, question number one. Which independent filmmaker created the wonderful character Beryl?
Oh, okay. I was hoping that that was what you were getting. Joanna Quinn, my lovely friend.
Oh, and Joanna came to Kilkenny Animated last year, which was 2024, and she was wonderful. So were you sort of kindred spirits and supporters of each other?
Well, I moved to Cardiff. I got nominated for one of the first British Animation Awards that was in Cardiff. And I went to Cardiff. I'd never been to Cardiff. And I met Joanna and a couple of friends of hers who were animators. And they were having such a great time. And I went round to one of their houses and they were showing Super 8 films. But somebody told me, somebody introduced me to the bloke that ran S4C and said, why don't you give Candy some money to make some more films? And he said, if she was living in Cardiff, I would. So I decided just to move to Cardiff. So I lived there for about 3.5 years and we had a little company called Home Movies. It wasn't a proper company, but it was me and Joanna and a couple of other animators. It was brilliant, really fun.
Okay, next question. Which British channel was the home of the pioneering commissioning editor, Claire Kitson?
Channel 4.
Channel 4. And did Claire play a large role in your life?
Yeah, she commissioned it, yeah.
Pond Life,
yeah, she was brilliant. But she did leave. She left Channel 4 when I was making the second series, which was a bit sad. But yeah, she was brilliant.
Yeah.
Very hands-off. She had amazingly eclectic taste, Claire. So she commissioned all kinds of things. From arty stuff to the sort of stuff I was making. And she was brilliant, yeah. And she was very hands-off. I just got left to my own devices, which was so good. Because if you have too much interference with scripts, it can all go terribly wrong.
Yeah, we wish there were more people like her, right? She was incredible.
I know.
In the day, incredible.
And also just the way Channel 4 was at that time, there was a lot, there was money for short form animation.
It was very exciting. Okay.
It was.
Along the same lines, our next question, connected to Channel 4, which studio did Camilla Deakin co-found when she left?
Lupus. I know, because my husband works for them.
And your husband is the wonderful...
Robin Shaw.
Yeah.
He came to tea and all those kind of things. Very talented.
That's wonderful. Okay, now final question. Easy. Can you name 3 independent British animated features? Your 3 faves.
Hold on, let me think.
I had 6 and I cut it down to 3.
Chicken Run?
Yes.
Is that one?
Yep. Maybe one from Lupus?
Tiger Who came to Tea?
Actually, I was thinking more of Ethel and Ernest.
Oh, Ethel and Ernest, yeah, thank you. Oh, yes, I've just remembered Ethel and Ernest.
What about some classics like...
Oh, Animal Farm.
Animal Farm is
what were you doing, though?
Rabbits.
Well, he was doing some... Oh, I thought you were being a horse. Julie was trying to be a rabbit, but she looked like a horse. I mean that in the nicest possible way.
That's three. Okay, well, let you off. Candy, it's been so nice to talk to you. And I really am so excited about Midlife Dolly.
Oh, me too. I'm doing it at the moment and I'm going to put it on when I finish this call.
And can you tell our listeners all about your YouTube channels or anywhere they can follow your work?
I want to tell them that. So it's Dolly Pond's Fantastic Lifestyle Channel.
Excellent. Everyone yeah. go there. And
you can't change the name because I've got 10,000 subscribers now. And if you change the name, it all gets complicated. So that's what it's going to be called now.
That's a great name. It's a fantastic name. So why not?
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Julie.
Well, I certainly can't wait to see a menopausal Dolly Pond on screen. Thank you so much to Candy for being our guest. And thanks so much to you for listening. This podcast would be nothing without an audience. Until next time, when we get all lit up, goodbye.